It is really interesting to see how these companies are approaching Chicago, right?
She was telling me she's really trying to understand how the tech ecosystem here works.
What's interesting about the baby boomers is that they've never met a debt they didn't like.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And welcome to Monday afternoon, everyone. Steve Bertrand here from the WGN studios, high atop the Chicago River. In the studio this afternoon, we'll talk to Jim Dahlke and Catherine Davis from Chicago Inno a little bit later. At least Glink will be here to talk about a couple of things, really. One is how employers can retain their workers. And one of the things that employers are more and more concerned about are workers who are demanding unlimited vacation. Is that for you? We'll talk to Elise about that. And then in the second half hour, Amy Guth will be here as well, as we'll go shopping in Mariano's and find out really it just looks like a Kroger. Right now, though, Jim Dahlke and Catherine Davis join us from Chicago Inno. Welcome back.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Okay, so you guys are out with your 10 coolest companies to work in. Catherine, you've got the byline on that story. And one of the things I'm going to talk to Elise about later, but so this is, if it's a cool place to work, right, the employees are getting sort of perks and things that they want that they might not be getting in other places, right? Are there defining characteristics here?
So, you know, the thing with the coolest companies competition is it is pretty broad, you know. The main guideline is if, you know, your company's cool, if employees love coming to work every day. So, you know, when we rolled out nominations for this, we got over 100 and we kind of narrowed it down to the 10 that we think offer some of the most unique benefits or perks to their employees and ones that, you know, are really propel them forward as a company that can recruit and retain talent.
And is unlimited vacation something that's being bandied about?
Unlimited vacation certainly is a huge piece of many tech companies today, right? So companies are thinking about ways to fight for tech talent, right? Tech talent is hard to come by as it's ever been. I mean, companies are racing to, you know, hire and retain the best tech talent, you know, across the city, and companies are kind of competing with one another to kind of out-perk each other. And unlimited vacation is certainly a piece of that. Even Basecamp, a company that's in this group, has a 4-day summer work week. So
nice.
So beyond kind of the traditional vacation, they're even like allowing their employees to take more advantage of the nice weather.
I was reading one of them has a 1-month paid sabbatical after 7 years.
That's right. I think that was Innova. But, you know, these kind of perks are things that I think we continue to see. You know, like Jim was saying, recruiting and retaining tech talent, especially like on the software developer layer, you know, like generally the salaries are pretty competitive.
Right.
You can expect those basic benefits like healthcare or 401k. So what is the extra thing that's going to, you know, kind of send you over the edge and make you decide on a particular company?
I mean, yoga classes, I keep seeing that, blah, blah, that's old news, isn't it? Yoga classes, we've got to find something new.
Well, now they're doing in-office massages.
Oh, okay.
So you can relax, and then you can get relaxed again with the massage.
And the stocked fridges and all that. But Jim, so is this a wave that the country as a whole is going on, right, where the job picture's very bright for the country, or is tech sort of superseding that? And I guess my question is, once the job market starts to slow for the rest of us, will these perks go away for tech too?
So technology, at least right now, kind of still feels like an industry that is going to still require a very competitive workforce, right? So I think that, you know, no matter what kind of happens, even if we see a kind of a cooling of the economy, the tech industry is still going to have at least slight growth. So yes, I do think that we're going to continue to kind of see this continue to grow, right? You know, one thing about unique perks is that one thing that I think employees don't want is to feel like the perk is so frivolous that, hey, I'd rather just have a bonus in my salary.
Right,
you know
exactly,
what I mean?
Yeah.
You'd hate to get, you know, unlimited brownies on Thursdays.
I don't want brownies.
I just want a 5% raise,
right?
So I think that companies have to be really careful in how they roll out perks as to be really beneficial to the employee. That's not sacrifice, at the end of the day, their paycheck.
And not to sound too much like an old man, but it still is a workplace, and so you don't want it to become... I was going to say so much fun that work doesn't get done. I don't know. Is that the wrong thing to say?
No, I think that you're 100% right. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, a company is cool if they offer a workplace that is safe, that makes their employees feel valued, that it makes employees feel like they're contributing to something bigger than themselves, right? So I think at the end of the day, you can put a water slide in your office, right? But if you don't have an office place that has a culture of inclusivity and a culture of kindness and a culture of safety, that you know, all that other stuff doesn't really matter.
A few years ago when I started doing the show, it was all about the millennials and how they wanted to do good in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And employers who were helping to foster that were being rewarded. Did you see a lot of that good do good stuff come up in your list and your applications?
Yeah, well, one particular company, Active Campaign, a local startup here, they do a lot with philanthropy and sort of giving back to the community. So they you know, adopt families for the holiday gift giving season, recycle arts and crafts for shelters. They host high school students in their office to kind of mentor them, get them in, you know, some workplace experience. So that was one company that does this kind of work all the time.
Totally. And then one benefit that I definitely want to mention is that a company called Solstice, and they offer what they call a Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Nice.
So what they do is they give you an extra PTO day you're free to take throughout the year as long as you take it with another Solstice employee. So if you go out with another Solstice employee, have a free day off, some team bonding, team building kind of stuff built into that too.
I think that's a great idea. And Bennett, what would you like to do? Producer Bennett Waitner, he's shaking his head no. Maybe it's not such a great idea. Well, another thing you wrote about, Jim, this week is United Airlines and their biometrics. So I finally am applying for my global reentry or global entry, and I'm already behind the curve, right? Because soon I'll just be able to flash my thumbprint or my iris, or how is this going to work?
Yeah, so basically United Airlines has invested in a startup called Clear, and if you've been to one of the 30 or so airports where they have these kind of clear kiosks and clear lanes, this might sound familiar to you. And so it's similar in a way to kind of TSA PreCheck, and that there's a lot of upfront verification. And so the way they kind of differentiate themselves is all biometrics. So basically what this is doing is an iris scan of your eyes or a thumbprint scan, and kind of giving a lot of your data to this company up front. So when you get to the airport, they know you are exactly who you say you are, don't need your ID or passport, and they move you, sort of speed you to the front of the TSA line.
So this is the line where the customs guy's looking at my picture and the passport and me to make sure it's me, and then waves me on.
So instead of doing that, they're scanning your eyeballs, right?
So, you know, should I be worried about giving them my eyeball scans?
So they say that their data is 100% safe. They have not had any data leaks and it's all encrypted.
Has anyone ever said their data is not 100% safe?
But, you know, it's interesting, right? Because we have this whole conversation around data privacy and data protection, but, you know, people are very willing to give over their data when there's a clear benefit on the other side. Hey, I can get through the airport faster. I'm, you know, probably willing to give an eyeball scan if I can shave off 20 minutes at the airport.
Catherine Davis and Jim Dahlke are in the studio from Chicago. You know, Catherine, you have a story about a boot startup in Chicago.
That's
and
right.
It's from a woman whose calves are bigger than standard boot size.
That's right.
How did I do?
Pretty good.
Okay.
So her name is Anna Stickle. She's a Chicagoan, and she always had a hard time finding, you know, tall boots that fit her calves. She has kind of more of an athletic build, and, you know, finding these kind of shoes was something that was an issue for her, and it was a complaint that she heard from
right.
other women in her life as well. And so she launched Mole, which means...
Oh, I know that, Mole. Mole, isn't that French for calf?
That's right, Steve.
Well,
did you read
that
in my story?
Oh, I did, yeah.
And the boot just launched on Kickstarter last week, and it has a 15-inch calf circumference, which she says should accommodate, you know, women who can't fit into the standard kind of calf boot.
And she went and actually taught herself how to make boots?
That's right. She went to New York City and took a week-long boot-making class and came out of there with the first prototype with
wow.
the boot. She said she went through about, you know, 9 or 10 more iterations of it to get what she has now. But it's made out of a combination of natural leather and then stretched suede leather. So, you know, it's kind of flexible.
And it's a couple $100?
That's right. It's about $200 on the Kickstarter campaign, but she says once they start selling this on the website regularly, it'll be about $250.
Okay, Mole. So if you're shopping for boots for a woman with bigger calves, that's where you go.
That's right.
If you have just skinny calves, could you still wear these, I wonder?
They may be a little loose on you. I don't know.
Tube socks, I would say. All right, Jim, you write about, and we talked a little bit about this, Mars, the M&M candy company, as they're one of these new big food companies starting like a food startup and incubator, right?
That's right. So just earlier last week, they announced a new startup accelerator called the Seeds of Change Accelerator. And just as like you said, this is all the idea behind this is just to get closer to startups, to get familiar with early stage food brands.
So the idea is that if they come upon the next huge idea, they're in it from the ground floor?
Basically, yeah. Okay. And so they've got several different brands, including one Chicago-based company who we've talked to you about before, called Promise Hummus, right. And that's the kind of non-GMO food brand here in Chicago that's making a unique kind of hummus product. And so, yeah, you know, Mars really is the latest kind of local food company to kind of get a little closer to the startup community. So Kraft Heinz has launched Springboard, which is sort of a similar incubator program to kind of connect with early stage food brands. Kraft Heinz also has a $100 million Chicago-based VC fund in the city to actually invest in food startups. Tyson Foods has a $150 million fund, which is also based in Chicago. We're seeing a ton of activity from these big food brands investing in startups.
You know what strikes me? I was just looking over the companies that they're investing in, and one of them is Brooklyn Deli. And Brooklyn Deli creates more nutritious condiments, but they're generally Indian, right, from India.
That's right.
And there seems like I've come across a few companies in the past few weeks that are really catering toward Indian cuisine.
Well, you go ahead, Catherine.
Yeah, that's right. We had we talked to you about a startup
was getting food from India.
Exactly, a meal kit service from India. So you're right. This is the kind of a space we're seeing growing.
Is there something to be made of that?
Well, I just think that, you know, whether it's people who have a connection to India or other countries, you know, wanting to kind of have that food from home, or just people who are trying to experience, you know, a healthier food product of a different culture, I think that there's interest kind of across the board.
The other one is Oxtail, and Oxtail is helping people do sort of entry-level ethnic cooking, it looks like.
Yeah. I mean, one thing about their entire portfolio here is healthy, healthy, healthy. Right. And that's the same thing that we've seen from Kraft Heinz, from Tyson. I mean, whether it's...
From all of these big companies that have made so much unhealthy food.
Right. So right? The whole turn now is looking at these early stage startups to see who's got the healthiest food product. And it's interesting to kind of see these legacy brands gravitate towards that.
Jim Dahlke and Catherine Davis, thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Steve.
It's 12:51. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Amy Guth is in the studio. She's the host of The Daily Gist that you check out from Crane Chicago Business. Welcome back, Amy.
Hello.
Okay, so I'm reading the story today about Mariano's.
Yes.
And I remember when Bob Mariano was in the studio here a few years ago now, when they were coming into Chicago, and I said, I want one, Bob. I had a Dominic's I loved. And the Dominic's closed. I'm like, you know, you're going to build one. And that was, gosh, that's been probably 5 or 6 years ago. And he said, yeah, there will be one eventually. I now have a Mariano's in my neighborhood. And I couldn't tell you why, but when I walk around in there, I'm like, this isn't as special as I was thinking it was.
Well, same. In my neighborhood, I have one that was a little different a couple of years ago, and now it's a little different. So there's a piece in Crane's Chicago Business about this very thing, because we're not the only ones kind of having this feeling about this, about Mariano's, and it's not just our own neighborhood ones. So Bloomberg intelligence analysts have been looking at this, and ever since when Amazon bought Whole Foods, once that acquisition happened, the whole grocery land kind
Whenever
of went
Amazon,
into panic.
When Amazon does anything, right?
Everybody panics that's
exactly.
related to that, right? So grocery panicked everywhere. And so Kroger, who now owns Mariano's after Bob Mariano retired a couple of years ago, he stayed on as CEO for a little bit and said, nothing's going to change. It's all good. And then two of his lieutenants were in his place. And well, there was a big shakeup a few years ago, and a bunch of people, there was some cost cutting and some restructuring. So they were ousted at that point. Since then, that's kind of around the same time where people started going, okay, we got to do a bunch of things. And the Kroger parent company is saying, yeah, we do want to put some Kroger initiatives throughout the banner. You know, they've got two dozen different banners under their name at this point. So they are starting to do a little more Kroger-y things at Mariano's, right? So where you could dine in and have a pretty good meal at a Mariano's, now there's a little more emphasis on not that, but more like the pre-made meal kits and scan it yourself things, which I think are amazingly entertaining because people just stand there and swear at it.
You mean the self-checkouts?
Yeah.
Oh, we don't have that in mine.
Oh my gosh, people just stand there at mine and scream at, I said cabbage.
But it's so. But when I walk around, it's because I'm like, well, I can't quite put my finger on it.
It's a shift. It's subtle, but it's there. Yeah.
And so a lot of it is the dining in. Because let me say this, Amy, too. It's like, I can't wait. I get it. I'm like, well, they have all these things that I try not to eat. You know, I'm not big into the barbecue. I don't like the gelato or whatever. So I just thought maybe.
You don't like gelato?
Well, I mean, I try not to eat it.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait a minute.
So
what's
I thought
happening?
Maybe the specials that they had just weren't, I was trying to avoid them.
No, there's a lot of people that are citing the dining in experience as being kind of one of the issues. And, you know, Bloomberg is really saying, you know, the problem with this, and, you know, Kroger's free to do whatever they want with anything they acquire. But the issue is that here's what made Mariano's so attractive in the first place that it was this upscale grocery chain that could that was competing with Whole Foods. And now it's like, if it's going to be taken down a notch to something else, it's not really in that same space, which is what made it attractive in the first place.
And so there's that. But then I also think that other stores are offering more dining in or more ready-made food too, that so they might be meeting Mariano's on the they might be on the way up with that as Mariano's comes on the way down.
Yeah, and I think this is another one of just where as soon as that Amazon Whole Foods deal happened, everybody went, okay, throw everything at the wall, see what sticks. Let's figure this out. Let's do this quickly and well and see what happens. So we'll see.
Yeah, and it's funny. I mean, really, this article came completely out of the blue to me. I was sort of feeling this the Mariano's blues, but until Dalton Barker explained it for me, I wasn't sure. I mean, now I get it. Now I got a name for my disease.
Like, I'm not the only one.
I feel better now.
But that's funny, though, because as soon as I saw that headline, I thought, I know exactly what this is about.
Really,
the second I saw it, I went, I get this right away. So that's an interesting.
Okay, so that's on the Daily Gist today. What else are you looking at?
Oh, my gosh. We're looking at so many things. I talked with A.D. Quigg, who is the politics and government reporter at Crain's. And we talked a little bit about, she did a profile last week that's in the print edition this week, about a player at CTU and kind of where. You know, we're kind of taking a look at CTU in this moment with Lightfoot against the backdrop of all the campaign rhetoric that was about Preckwinkle and all this stuff, right?
Right.
Suddenly they got to deal with Lightfoot. And how is that going to go? The contract looks a little different. It's usually about benefits and pay, but there's a lot of other things that the teachers union is asking about and asking for now. So this person serving as the vice president has kind of gotten this reputation as this kind of powerhouse. It's keeping people pretty excited.
Give me one more nugget. What else do you have?
Oh my gosh. Let's see. Also taking a look at... let me think. Gosh, there's so many things on the Daily Gist. Well, Cars.com, it is not going to be selling itself off. It was going to be for sale. Chicago-based Cars.com is like, you know what? We've entertained 29 prospective buyers, and ultimately, we're going to keep doing what we're doing.
All right, the Daily Gist coming up this afternoon. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much.